The fifth edition, Penguin Guide to Jazz on CD, is in stores now. Compiled by music writers Richard Cook and Brian Morton, it is 1,700 pages long and 4 inches thick. The guide begins with the Alley Trio, which the authors call a Swedish improv power trio, and it ends with Zubop, described as a vigorous British post-bop outfit. This is pianist Cyrus Chestnut, who the guide identifies as a good example of the next wave of mainstream jazz. For those interested in knowing a little more or a lot more about jazz, who better to ask than the guide's co-author Richard Cook? Where to begin?
The artist that you have to go to first of all is Duke Ellington. He's the most prolific recording artist in jazz. His legacy is enormous, so you could spend a lifetime just studying on Ellington's works alone. And out of that, I would suggest that you look for maybe a compilation of the earlier sides up to the great band of the early 1940s, perhaps. And thereafter, look for one of the great later pieces, like the New Orleans Suite or the Far East Suite. Which I think shows his the full stretch of his talents as a large-scale composer. After Ellington, I mean, there are obvious sort of touchstone records like Kind of Blue by Miles Davis, A Love Supreme by John Coltrane, although I would never recommend that record to anyone to start with because I think it's a pretty turbulent record. I think perhaps for a lot of people, what attracted a young audience to jazz in England in the 1980s was its danceable aspect. And a lot of the great records by Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers are a very good place to start to understand the music that grew up in the aftermath of the bebop era of Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie. So maybe one of the Jazz Messengers records like A Night in Tunisia or The Big Beat or Mosaic. They're very accessible records. They're very easy to come to terms to, but they're very exciting and they're absolutely undiluted, straight-ahead jazz. If you can enjoy a record like that, and there's no reason why you can't, I think you can take it from there and pretty much go in any direction you want, because quality composing and quality improvising and group interaction, I think you hear all those things in a Jazz Messengers record, and it's a good record to play at a party as well.
Is there an artist, or are there artists that are working with material while still playing jazz that they could not have worked with even 10 years ago? I'm thinking here maybe of some rap elements or a sensibility that just, you know, that's just being created at the moment.
Well, I think there is a thing among a lot of younger jazz musicians today that they are a bit bothered that they find it hard to get a young audience. Some musicians have tried to find a way of making some sort of rapprochement between idioms like rap and funk and with more traditional jazz improvisation, with some success. You've also got groups like the trio Medeski, Martin and Wood, who've done some records for the Blue Note label. That's a group which has sort of gone the route that jazz groups have gone. They don't call themselves a jazz group. It's a keyboards, bass, drum setup. What they basically do is gig a lot. They play in a lot of situations. They're like a little jazz organ combo that goes around playing in tiny clubs and loading the equipment in the back of its van and so on. And it's played in hundreds of situations. And they have built up a young audience by doing it that way. But they're the exception. I think what most jazz musicians are finding is that when they try to make the bridge between jazz and more pop forms of music, it's difficult because there isn't the musical sophistication in those forms that makes it square easily with what jazz musicians do. If they're going to play a cover of Phil Collins' song or a Sting song, there's not that much meat there for them to get their teeth into, musically speaking, because the sophistications of the old style of songwriting, the great American songbook style, are simply not there in modern pop music. It's a bit of a dilemma for the young jazz musician.
Well, given that only about 3% of all CDs sold are jazz CDs, This compilation would suggest otherwise because it's so thick, but that's probably a little unnerving for those who look to play jazz and hear jazz in the future.
Well, I think there are reasons to be discouraged, but there are also reasons to be optimistic. It's not all doom and gloom for the young jazz musician because it's interesting, in certain metropolitan situations, you find this particularly in obvious places, I suppose, like New York and Chicago, but there are tiny clubs where most of these musicians have to try and find work. And when you go, and it's surprising, there are a lot of young people listening. Now, I don't know whether these people are actually buying records. I'm not sure whether there's a split between the live audience and the record-buying audience. But I think, you know, it's important for the live music scene to be just as healthy as the recording one, because that's the only way that the music stays fresh and healthy. Also, as you say, you know, this is a very thick book we've got here, and these records may not sell an awful lot of copies, but there's an awful lot of them coming out still.
Richard Cook, along with Brian Morton, wrote The Penguin Guide to Jazz on CD, now in its fifth edition. He spoke with us from London.